Greetings, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here at the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. I'm coming to you with a special educational opportunity here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, where fall classes are about to begin. On Monday evenings, we have Defending the Christian Faith, American Sign Language, and Financial Peace University being offered. On Tuesday evenings, we have our flagship Biblical Counseling program that is being offered. And on Thursday evenings, we have a new class, God's Viewpoint, Responding to the Gender and Sexuality in Our Culture. So why don't you give us a call at 412-242-3255 to find out more information about how you can enroll in one of these classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the first half of people who are intimate with God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of people who are intimate with God.
We come to the final message in our series on In Pursuit of Intimacy with God. And we've been talking about how to have a deep, intimate, personal relationship with God. And as I've gone through this series, I can't say that my relationship with God is all that it should be, but I know as a result of just doing the studying for these messages, I've been convicted and really have tried to come into more intimacy with God, realizing, especially as I was thinking on the message today and what the Lord put on my heart to share, and how important intimacy with God is. And so as we come today, I want to speak to you on this subject, people who are intimate with God. What should your life look like if you are intimate with God? And hopefully, as we go through this today, you can do a self-examination and ask yourself the question, is this what my life looks like? And if not, that we would be convicted, to draw closer to God. As I think of all the messages that we've done in this series, we started out talking about having a thirst for God, and then we talked about searching for God and knowing God, how to be intimate with God through meditation, how to listen to God, how to have a love relationship with God. All those things, if we would implement those in our lives, we can truly know what it's like to be in that personal relationship with Him. So this morning, I want to talk about people who are intimate with God. What are some characteristics of people who are intimate with God? People who are intimate with God. The lives of those people who are intimate with God have been impacted and changed dramatically. It's almost like you are like a mild-mannered Christian Clark Kent, and you go into the sanctuary of your devotional hour, and you come out transformed into a spiritual Superman and Superwoman. That when you come out, that God has worked in your life. He has transformed you, and He has made you this being that He desires for you to be. As we come out of these intimate time with God, there are two things that should be true of our lives. The first thing is that there should be a greater understanding of the heart of God. That you should have a deeper understanding of what the heart of God is like. You can go to that next slide. You can have a deeper understanding what the heart of God is like. As we grow in our intimacy with Him, we now understand what's in His heart. And as we understand what's in His heart, we are able to go forth and do those things that are in the heart of God. As I share a little bit later on in the message, whatever you do in your life ought to be birthed out of this relationship of intimacy. Because now, as I've said, you've tapped in to the mind and heart of God. You understand, if you look at any relationship between a husband and wife, a lot of times what the husband is looking for, what the wife is looking for, is understanding. I just need for you to understand me like I understand you. And so, you know, there is that desire for the other person to be understood. And when you understand that other person, what does that mean? That means you know what's on their mind and you know what's on their heart. Do you know what's on the mind of God for you? Do you know what's in the heart of God for you? Maybe it's because you haven't been intimate with him. That's why you don't know that. And so I would encourage you again to go back and review the notes, to get the messages, and understand what it means to have an intimate relationship with God, because out of that comes what your life is all about. And the second thing, people who are intimate with God, we see that they increase in their love for him. The more time you spend being intimate with God, the more time you spend being close and personal with him, the more your love for the Father grows. Do you love God a little bit more this year than you did last year? If you're becoming intimate with him, that love just grows. If your love is stagnant, if your love has not moved 1 ounce or 1 inch from where it was last year, 2 years ago, could it be that you're not being intimate with God? Somebody said, the more I love him, the sweeter he grows. The more you understand him, the more that you draw close to him, the greater your love for him will be. And so these are two things right up front that I want to say should characterize a person who has been intimate with God. There's a greater understanding of his mind and his heart, and there's also an increase of love for him. Now, watch this, because we're going to shift in the message now. And the shift is, those who know God, you know, what it means internally, and now we're going to shift and look at what does it mean externally. What are some things that ought to be evident in our lives if we know God? And the first thing that I want to say is that people who are intimate with God, they take a great stand for him. That you cannot be intimate with God and be a secret agent Christian. You cannot be intimate with God and other people not know about it. Oh, it's not because you're going out here bragging on it. It's not because you're going out here sticking out your chest and looking and saying, what a great intimate person I am with God. No, it's the fact of, I think of the disciples in the book of Acts. It said that when the people saw him, they took note that they had been with Jesus. They didn't have to say anything. They could just look at him and tell that they were in the presence of Christ. Moses, when he was caught up on the mountain and he had God reveal his glory unto him, the Bible says that when he came back down, his face lit up and shone. Why? Because he was intimate and in the presence of God. So you can't be exposed to the presence of God and something not happen, something not change in your life. And the first thing that we see is that if you have been intimate with God, that you will take a great stand for God. Turn to Daniel chapter 1, if you would. In the book of Daniel, we read about him and his three friends and how that they were transported from Jerusalem to Babylon. And as they came into Babylon, the king tried to change everything about them. He tried to change their culture. He tried to change their education. He even tried to change what they ate. And as he tried to change these things, we see that he provided a portion of meat for these Hebrew boys to eat. And in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, it says this, that while everybody else was gobbling up the king's meat, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, where does this come from? Where does this stand come from? This stand comes because Daniel has been intimate with God. If you read the book of Daniel, you can see the power of intimacy between Daniel and God. And in another place, they put out a decree because they knew that Daniel loved his God, and they knew that Daniel worshiped his God. And they put out a decree that if any man prays to any other god except the king, that he's going to be thrown into a lion's den. And in Daniel chapter 6, if you'll turn there real quick, Daniel chapter 6. In verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went up into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did previously. Daniel was not ashamed to take a stand. Even in the midst of adversity, he stood. And why did he stand? He stood because he knew God in a personal and intimate way. Put that diagram back up there. I want to show you something. What I did on this is that line that comes out of intimacy with God, that goes up to stand for God. If you'll notice, generally when people do that, they just put an arrow on one end or the other end. But if you notice there's an arrow on both ends. And I did that intentionally. Let me tell you why I did that. Because whatever you are as a child of God comes directly out of your intimacy with God. So thus the arrow coming out, going to standing for God. That's why we have the arrow going that way. Because, like I said, it's birthed out of intimacy with God. Now watch this. I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. I'm not going to stop praying even though they've issued a decree. Where does that connect back to? It connects back to my intimacy with God. That I can stand knowing that I have been intimate with God, knowing that I have a God who I have a personal relationship with. And even though I'm forced to eat meat that I know is not right, and that my stand comes out of that intimacy. And likewise, my stand is rooted back in that intimacy, because I can go back and I know that I've spent time with God. I know that I've been intimate with God. I know that I've heard from God, and therefore I can stand. And maybe the reason why some people are so weak in their stand is because it's not been birthed out of intimacy. Maybe you stood out of somebody telling you need to stand. Maybe you stood because you felt that was what everybody else was doing, so you stood. And so when the hard times come, when the rough times come, you back off of your stand. And why do you back off of your stand? Because it hasn't been rooted in the relationship of your intimacy with God. That when I'm intimate with God, I can stand. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 13, he said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand when the storms of life blow. Stand when you are liked, and stand when you are not liked. Stand when it's popular, and stand when it's not popular. Amen. That great theologian, Sylvester Stone, said, stand tall. There's a midget beside you. There's a giant beside you about to fall. He said, stand. Watch this now. You've been sitting much too long. There's a permanent crease in your right and wrong. Stand. You've been sitting much too long. We've been wavering much too long. When you know a God and you know what he's told you to do, you can stand because it's rooted back to that intimate relationship with him. I'll give you a perfect example is when I was growing up. We used to do this thing. Now, some of the young people, you probably never heard this before. It was called capping on somebody. All right? Capping on somebody, right? And that's whenever, now young people today, they probably got another term for it. I don't know what it is, but capping on somebody meant that you was talking about them. You talked about their clothes. You talked about their shoes. You talked about the way they looked, the shape of their head, whatever it was. You capped on them, right? But watch this. Whenever somebody said something about your mother, it was over, right? We're not gonna play the dozens in here. You know, man, you can make fun of my teeth, my eyes, my head, my clothes. You can do all, but don't say anything about my mom. Now, you can talk about a person's daddy, right? But don't say anything about my mom. And what made a person stand up when you talked about their mother? The intimacy that person has with their mother. Again, you know, I'm going back. I'm going old school now. But we used to have a word for our mom back in the day. We called our mom our raise. Oh, yeah. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. We called your mom your raise. And that meant that this is the one that gave everything to me. This is the one who took care of me. This is the one who I was inside of her for 9 months. This is the one who stood with me when I was sick at night. This is the one who went through me through thick and thin. This was my raise, and you're not going to talk about my raise. And you took a stand. And the reason you took a stand is because you knew your mom in a special way. There was an intimacy with your mother that there was with no other person, and it came out of that. And so when we think about this intimacy with God, people that are intimate with God, they take great stands for him. And they don't back down because they know where it comes from and they know what it's rooted in. In your notes, I give you the reasons why Daniel stood. The reason Daniel could take such a stand was because he had an intimate relationship with God. Repeatedly, we read in the book of Daniel about this intimacy. He had a powerful prayer life, Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 6. The Lord revealed to him intimate details concerning his future plans, Daniel chapter 2. He showed Daniel the interpretation of things that no one else could understand, Daniel chapter 5. God sent an angel to answer one of Daniel's prayers, Daniel chapter 10. And God revealed to him events concerning end times, Daniel chapter 9. Look at the intimacy in this relationship. And is it any wonder that when Daniel's faith was put to the test, why he stood because there was that intimacy with God. One songwriter put it like this: standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, trusting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Those who are intimate with God stand for God.
Secondly, those who are intimate with God make great sacrifices for him. So again, we have the arrow going out because these sacrifices are birthed out of intimacy. And when the sacrifices are being done because they might be challenged or they might be questioned, they are rooted back where? Right back into intimacy. And that's the reason why you can be steadfast, because you know it comes out of intimacy with God, and you can stand because it's rooted in the intimacy of God. David was a man who experienced extreme intimacy with God. David was referred to as the sweet psalmist of Israel, 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1. Can you imagine to have such a title? The sweet psalmist of Israel. What does that mean? That means that David was accountable for more psalms than anybody else. And he worshiped God, he praised God, he cried out to God, he heard God, and there was just a deep intimacy in this relationship between David and God. Secondly, it says in 1 Samuel 13 and 14 that David was a man after God's own heart. You're talking about intimacy. Wouldn't you like to be known by that in heaven? That Brother Bill is a man after God's own heart. What an identification to have. Something that we should all strive for, to be a person after God's own heart. And then, as I said earlier, David wrote more psalms than anybody else, which exhibited his deep and intimate relationship with him. Look at Psalm 139 real quick. Psalm 139. And in Psalm 139, we get a glimpse of this intimacy that David had with God. If you'll notice the superscription, which is the words that come before the psalm, it says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. So David was the author of the psalm, as many believe. And look what he says in verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. What intimacy. Thou hast known my downsitting and my uprising, and understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art quieted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Lord, I don't understand this intimacy that we have together. Where can I go to flee from your spirit? Or where can I go to flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thou lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the light, and both are like to thee. Even, Lord, when I was born, he says that you possessed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. That's intimacy. If you go on and read the rest of the psalm, he even describes this relationship in that much more intimacy. So David was one.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of People Who Are Intimate with God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, People Who Are Intimate with God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request People Who Are Intimate with God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request People Who Are Intimate with God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Dr. Glaze has authored a book titled In the Garden with the Father, which can deepen your study of the pursuit of intimacy with God. You can order In the Garden with the Father by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.